What I want to do today is, as I've used this illustration before, it's been a number of years ago, but how many of you have ever played the game Uno? Y'all play Uno? I think everybody has played Uno. And if you haven't played Uno, you know, how many of you have just taken out a deck of cards? And there's so many different games, you know, that you can play with a deck of cards, obviously. Some of them maybe we shouldn't be talking about in church, but the game Uno I loved, especially playing with the kids. Seth and Drea, when they were younger, everybody that plays, can we just be honest and upfront right now? Everybody that plays the game wants to win. Amen? Okay, everybody wants to win. But not everybody's going to win. And so when I play cards with Seth and Drea, we take the deck, obviously. It's much bigger than this one. Shuffle it up. And you never know what kind of cards you're going to be dealt. You know, every hand you have. I think there's roughly, isn't it seven cards or is it five? It's one of those two. We're going to go with seven because I think it's seven. Five, five, six, six. All right. And when I get the cards that are dealt to me, I look at them. Ooh, I got some good ones. All right. So here's what I usually do when I look at my hand. I'm like, okay, I got a few numbers here, an eight, a five, a four, a two, a six, but I've got to draw a four in here. I've got to draw a two in here. Somebody's going to pay, right? And that's what I'm thinking when I play these cards, and I'm like, all right. But here's the thing. I don't know what cards they've been dealt. And I don't want to equate necessarily life or God's calling to a deck of cards, okay? It's just an illustration. This is just an analogy. But here's what I remember when I think of playing Uno is sitting down with the kids, and about the time they had down to, what, two, maybe one card, they got really cocky when they go, Uno. Like that, and I'd be like, oh yeah, draw four, you know. And then you just watched them, and you just crushed your child, and you found great joy in it. You know what I mean? Like a good father, right? But the problem is what comes around goes around. And about the time I think I was going out, all of a sudden, you know, it didn't happen. And I remember one time, and I don't know how this happened, but I remember Drea having a stack of cards like this. She needed two hands. And she almost had a tear in the corner of her eye, to which I found very pleasing. And I thought, I'm going to crush her. Because I only had, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but I had only like five cards maybe. And I thought, there's no way she's going to win. But as the game played on, because she had so many cards, she also had an abundance of draw fours and draw twos and skips and reverses, and before I know it, she's going, skip you, skip you, skip you, reverse, draw four, draw two, draw 1,000, draw five, you know. I mean, it was insane, and before I knew it, there I was, holding all these cards. And she went out, to which I took the mature route, and I said, I quit. No, I didn't do that. But have you ever played a game, maybe you were the one that said that, or maybe you played with somebody who said that, and they're like, if they didn't win, they're like, I quit. You know, I loved playing games like this with my kids. When Seth plays, Seth is in it to win it, okay? Seth is going to take you out. And if it doesn't go his way, he'd rather not play the game. It's win or I'm not going to play the game kind of a thing. Drea's different. Drea will play, and if Drea loses, she'll look at me dead-eyed and go, rematch, now. And we'll play again. And we will play until what usually happens is Drea wins, and then she's good, right? And they're no different than any of us. And I got to thinking, in life, you know, maybe Uno's not your thing. Maybe it's a deck of cards, and you're playing something else. We'll just say something else, you know? Typically, whenever somebody plays a round of cards, they have five cards. And they're playing with the hand that they've been dealt. But here's the thing. You never know, just like in life, what cards you're going to be dealt. There's value that we have assigned to these cards. Well, we want the kings because they're the highest. Aces, they're amazing, right? It's always good to have an ace up your sleeve, right? At least that's what game players say. Have an ace up your sleeve, you know? Some of us, maybe the card that we've been dealt in life is the Joker card. We feel like everything's always getting screwed up and everything's just a joke. Sometimes we forget that one of the most important is the king. And some of us maybe are trying to live life like the queen. And the cards that we've been dealt are twos and threes, and we're asking ourselves, what in the world are we going to do with this? Here's what I want to talk to you about today is how can we succeed in life and have a winning hand? Most of us think that in order to have a winning hand means you've got to have the best cards, but what are the best cards? What are they? Well, it really depends on how you play the hand that you've been dealt. And that's what I want to talk about today, is how to play a winning hand. So in your bulletin, there's an outline. I'm going to give you just a couple of observations after I read this parable. And then I want to talk to you about five uncontrollable factors and five choices we've got to make to have a winning hand in life. Just like in the game of cards, in life, you and I are dealt some cards, if you will. We have been, as we'll find out in a moment, been entrusted. We have been given unique giftings and talents and abilities. And you may look at it and go, I don't like these cards, but Jesus does. He created you that way. And if you will learn how to play the cards that you've been dealt instead of looking at your neighbor's cards and saying, I wish I had their hand, life will go so much better for you. It'll go so much better for you. So I'm going to read to you from Matthew 25. It's a parable. A parable is an earthly story to bring some spiritual meaning. And this is the one on the talents. You probably have heard it before, but I want us to just expound, kind of draw out some things on this. And it says that he gave five talents to one person. He gave two to another, and to another he gave one. And immediately the one who had received five talents went and traded them and gained five more. And in the same manner, the one who received two talents gained two more. But he who received the one talent, he went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five more talents, saying, Master, you handed to me five talents. See, I have made five more. His master said to him, Well done, thou good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one who had two talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who received the one talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave or servant, depending on your translation. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the banker, and on my return I would have received what is mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who now has 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. And from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds pretty serious there at the end. Throw him in, the weeping and the gnashing of teeth sounds like one of the card games I had with my kids, right? When somebody lost because maybe they didn't play their hand well. There's much we can learn from this parable. And what I want us to do is, if I would have thought ahead, I would have put a playing card in your bulletin to take home with you. Maybe when you go home today, sit around the table with your family and play a game of Uno and remind yourself things are always changing and you got to play the hand that's been dealt to you, because in this life, there's some things you don't get to choose, but there are choices that we can make in the midst of that. And let me just give you three principles that I gleaned right off the top from this parable. I'm going to give them to you real quick. The first one is this. God expects us, you and me, to make the most of what we've been given. He expects us to make the most of what we've been given. Not only that, but secondly, no one has been given the same thing. Everyone's got a different gift, a different talent, a different skill level, skill set, ability. No one has been given the same thing. And then thirdly, you did not choose the things that were given to you. God did. He's the one that chose them. Well, I chose to be a welder. I chose to be a pastor. I chose to be a teacher. But you wouldn't be able to do any of those without the desire, nor the passion, nor the wiring on the inside that God gave you. You see, it's God that gives us these gifts and these talents and these abilities to be able to do what it is that we do. The Bible says that God will evaluate when we stand before Him. God will evaluate how we have played our cards, how we have played the hand that has been dealt to us. Therefore, we're going to have to take a look at how to play a winning hand. So, I used the analogy of the cards here. You know, typically like I said, five cards that are dealt in life, and depends on what you've been dealt, how you're going to play those cards. Are you going to follow through and wisely do the best you can, or are you going to fold every time? The choice is always going to be us. But everybody here has had those cards dealt to them. Everybody here has been uniquely made and wired in such a way that God wants to use your gifts and your abilities. Are you going to lean into that? Or are you going to just keep it to yourself? God will give you sometimes a card. You might think that card that He gave you, you're like, why did He give me this one? I remember when I was a kid, I was told all the time, I talk and I don't shut up, right? Now, I don't mean it that bluntly, but in school, you know, at home, I talk, I'm just a talker. And guess what I do now, right? I talk. You know, it's something that I wouldn't have been comfortable with, but I learned that when all my friends in high school were like, is that all you do is talk? You know, well it's something that God's wired within me. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Some are wired with the compassion that I don't have. Some are wired with the ability to confront scenarios, situations, and people that I'm not wired to. We all have our own unique giftings, and we need to lean into them rather than looking at what others have and wish we had what they had. Chances are, if you're wishing you had what somebody else had, somebody else is out there wishing they had what you have, and that you're taking for granted. You got to play the cards that God has dealt to you wisely and let Him cultivate within you and build within you exactly how He's created you to be. But there's five what I call uncontrollable factors that I want to expand on. And if we can look at this, it'll give us some tips on how to play our cards well. Here's the first one. Write down your conception. This is what I call an uncontrollable factor, meaning everybody here has been given things. I know that's very deep, but what I mean by that is the way you're made up, the genes within your body, your height. How many of you here wish you could be taller? Anyone want to be taller? Okay. How many of you wish you weren't as tall? You'd like to be shorter. I rarely get that, but some people. How many, don't raise your hand to this one. How many of you here would say, I'd like to lose some weight? How many of you would say, I want to gain some weight? How many would say, I wish I had brown hair instead of blonde, or I wish I had blonde hair instead of brown, or I wish I had hair, period. Right? You can wish this and wish that and hope this and hope that, but you are who you are because God has uniquely made you, not just physically, but one of the uncontrollable factors is your conception, who you are, how you're built. I grew up with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? So I always wanted to look like them. Ain't gonna happen. I gotta learn to be comfortable in the skin that I'm in, right? And who I am. That doesn't mean I don't have to do anything to take care of myself, but I can't control that. It's not about right or wrong. It's just how it is. It's who you are. And you've been fearfully and wonderfully made, each and every one of you. The Bible says in Psalms 139:14, it says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Other translations say it this way. It says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has made everyone so precious to Him. You might not feel very precious right now or very valuable, or you may not feel very unique, but God thinks you are so precious, valuable, and unique that He sent His own Son to die on a cross for you. Because that's how much He values us. God made everyone this way. We are extremely unique, but we have to be willing to identify it, even when the difficult times come. Let me give you some examples. God bless you. Helen Keller was blind and mute. Do you know how many languages she spoke? Seven. Seven languages. She didn't let her inabilities or hindrances stop her. Polio-stricken Franklin Roosevelt didn't let that stop him. He became president of the United States. Michael Jordan. Anyone ever heard of him? Well, everybody's heard of Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan was a sophomore in high school. His sophomore year, he was left out of the varsity team because he was too short. Michael Jordan. He was too short, but he was also determined, and he worked and he practiced daily, and he made the team the next year, and the rest is history. You know, it's Michael Jordan everywhere. Colonel Saunders, he's best known for being, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken. He started as a young boy who lost his dad at age 6. That's how it all started for him. And then he became responsible for feeding the family, feeding his siblings. And at the age of 40, he ran a service station. And he fed hungry travelers and eventually moved across the street, got a building, started making fried chicken. Now we have KFC. Abraham Lincoln. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln had 2 business venture failures before his presidency? It happened. Not only that, but he lost 8 different elections before he had a complete nervous breakdown. And this is all before he became the president of the United States. His story is a great inspirational story, which shows if you just keep moving toward your dream, you can eventually make it. But you got to lean into the hand that God has dealt you. You can't try to live life and achieve your goals based on somebody else's gifting. Others can come alongside you and help you out, but you have to lean into your own giftings. So one uncontrollable factor is your conception. Here's number 2, your connections. Your connections. Acts 17 says, God has decided that from one man, he made every nation of men. And then it goes on to say, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Now, what it's trying to say there is this. He's got a plan for everybody. We still have choices. It's not like God's the puppet master and we're the puppets and we're just doing whatever he wants. He gives us choices. But one of the things that's kind of uncontrollable is some of these connections that we have to others in our life. If you look at the blueprint of your life, how you see yourself is often determined by what you think the most important people in your life think of you. I'm going to say that again. Think about this with me. How you see yourself is often determined by what you think the most important people in your life think about you. Therefore, we have a tendency, or we could have a tendency, to try to be what other people think because we put such value on their thoughts. So we try to be what they want us to be. And this is dangerous when we try to please others instead of God. We're to please God first. And if you spend your life trying to be a people pleaser, it's just going to leave you frustrated. Take it from somebody who learned that the hard way. I tried to please everybody else, and then I lost who I was, my identity. You see, even though you cannot control who you're connected to, what I mean by that is this. You don't get to choose who your mom is. You don't get to choose who your dad is. You don't get to choose who your siblings are. You don't get to choose who your aunt or your uncle are. You might not get to choose some of those connections in your life, but you do get to be in control of the fact of whether you're going to allow there to be healthy or unhealthy connections as far as relationships with those around you. In other words, you may not be able to choose who mom and dad are, but you can decide whether you're going to live by God's standard or other people's standard. Don't get caught making wrong agreements with other people, by the way. You got to be very careful. This is a very tricky thing. I could spend a whole message on this. But a wrong agreement is when you say, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you. And we enter into these wrong agreements. Be very careful of this, because many times we can make these wrong agreements and then we get in relationships where we feel stuck. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times in life when we feel stuck. I've experienced them. What am I supposed to do with my life? Where am I supposed to go? God, what do you have to say? And I just feel stuck. But then there's the times when we get into wrong agreements that just seem to cement us there. And we feel like we can't move or leave. This is the way the family rolls. Be very careful of that. Because here's what you need to know. There are no perfect relationships. Amen? If you didn't know that, you need to know that. There is no perfect relationships. You know, it's something that's always in progress. It's something that we're always working on. If There should be nobody that says, you know what, I've been married 75 years. I don't even know if that's possible, but maybe. 80 years. I'm 170 years old. I can be done learning. No, if you're still alive and breathing, there's something to learn. There's a contribution that you have. Well, how do you know that? Because you're still here. When God is done with you, He will take you home. But here's the thing. While we're here, we have to do our part and cooperate. Don't ever get to a place and say, I can stop learning. I've been married long enough. I'm old enough. I don't need to learn. No, there's no perfect relationships. There's times when we hurt one another. There's times when we misunderstand one another. And do you know where it happens the most, at least in my experience? It's with the people that are the closest to me. A lot of times I hurt my family the most. You know what I mean by that, because I misunderstood something or I took something for granted. But it's because they're there and they're in my life. But be careful so that doesn't become an open door where the enemy tries to walk through. But one of the uncontrollables is your conception, your connections, and then number three, write this down, your circumstances. Your circumstances. In the Bible, it says, James chapter 4, verse 14, you do not know what life will be like tomorrow. Anybody here know what life is going to be like tomorrow? Not really. I mean, you guys have plans, right? Well, I got to go to work. I got to pay the bills. I got to mow the lawn. I've got to take my kids to school. We've got softball, soccer. We've got all this. Okay, those are your plans, but do you know what tomorrow is going to be like? No. Nobody knows what life will be like. Accidents happen. Some things maybe that happen are coincidences. Maybe some of us have said, well, I want to be careful because I've been in life long enough and I've gone through some abuse or I've been rejected and I've been hurt that way. Maybe you've experienced a series of failures and you got to be careful because you can't let these things identify you. Don't let the circumstances, though you can't control as they come at you, you get to decide how you're going to respond to them. Circumstances are uncontrollable, but how we respond to those will determine our identity. They'll map out the blueprint of our life. So be careful. Have you ever just watched people? I mean, got any people watchers in the house? Yeah. You like to watch people and watch how they respond, watch how they act. My favorite place is the airport, okay? If I can, I will, if we have to do a connecting flight and I'm in charge of booking tickets, I will make sure there's a good 2-3 hour gap between one flight to the next. One of the reasons is because of delays, life happens. The other reason is I want to eat some food. Okay, I'm just being real with you. But number three is I want to sit and watch people. People are fun to watch and I get a kick out of people. They're running late for their flight, and you'll watch them trucking across and bringing their luggage. They're mad. They're frustrated. Some of them are happy. They're reunited. You're just watching all this go on. You're watching life. But then it dawned on me, as much as I like to watch people, people are watching me too. I got to watch how I respond to life. Because life doesn't always go my way. Does it always go yours? Probably not. And here's the biggest thing. People, as a Christian, when people know you're a Christian and life gets difficult and the pressure comes on, people like to watch it more. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody likes to watch a car accident. I mean, not happen, but you know, as you're driving down the road, the other side of the traffic slows down. Why? Because everyone's slowing down. They want to see what's taking place, right? They want to watch what's going on. What's happening over there? I see something going on. And they get distracted by that. In life, especially when you're a Christian, and pressure's on, people watch you because they want to see how you're going to respond. They want to see what kind of reaction they're going to get out of you. He says he's a Christian. You know, he dresses like a Christian, looks like a Christian, smells like a Christian. Let's see what actually happens when the pressures of life come upon him. And you cannot always control the circumstances in life, but you can control how you respond to them. In our family, years ago, when we would go to a restaurant, and it probably still will happen, but we don't go out as often, and we go through the drive-thru, it'd be Seth and Drea, mom and dad, and we'll go through, I don't know where it was at, but let's just a restaurant, a fast food restaurant. If anybody's meal is going to get screwed up, it's always going to be Lisa. I don't know if this happens in your family or not, where it's like, why is it always me? And, but every time we go there, they get the sandwich wrong, or they give her the wrong sandwich, or they mess up something about the order. And then I've got to go back down there, and I got to take care of it. And and make it right. So I've learned that whenever I buy food and Lisa's in the car, I always check the bag and I always make sure her food's there, because if they screw mine up, I'll eat anything in the bag, okay? I pretty much will just graze on anything. But we got to get her sandwich right. But here's the thing is we have a choice. It's very frustrating for her, but there's a difference between rolling up to McDonald's and they screw up the sandwich and we look back at the window and say, I'm sorry, you made the sandwich wrong. This is what we asked for. We need a right sandwich, right? That's a good way to deal with it. A wrong way would be to take the quarter pounder and chuck it through the window at them. Say, can't you do anything right? You know, that people are going to watch that. They're going to look at that. I remember one time we went to McDonald's and Lisa said, I want to get a quarter pounder with Big Mac sauce, no onion. That's pretty specific, isn't it? The more specific you get with the sandwich, the higher the chances they're going to screw it up. And so she said, I want a quarter pounder, Big Mac sauce, no onion. And I thought, oh, Lord, here we go. But you see, you got to know people are always watching. They want to see how you'll respond. I'm not saying that you should be a doormat and just take everything that's thrown at you, even though it's screwed up. When things go wrong, make them right, but watch your attitude. Watch your attitude. Watch how you handle circumstances in life, because it will define you. It will identify you. And while you cannot choose many of your circumstances, you can choose how you will react to them. Here's number four, another uncontrollable, your inner conversation. Now, I know right away some people are like, I can control that. Now, what I'm talking about is when things are coming at you, okay? I know that you can decide and determine, but you cannot control what others say about you, can you? You can't control what somebody says about you. You can't control what they think about you. Some people may tell you lies. They might tell you that you're a loser. They might tell you that you've got problems. They might tell you that you're uncoordinated, et cetera, et cetera. Fill in the blank. But the danger is when you start imagining these negative thoughts in your mind and you start giving them a place to stay. It's when you give them a residence and you start dwelling upon them. See, you can't control the fact that somebody is going to say something bad about you, but you can control whether you're going to let that thought stay there or not. I've been around long enough. I've had a number of people that not everybody likes me. I know this is going to shock you, but not everybody likes me. And I have to determine that I'm going to be okay with that. You know, I don't set out and try to be mean. I don't set out to try to disgruntle anybody. But anytime I have to make a choice because God said go this way, and sometimes I make mistakes too. I'm just like you. Sometimes people I find out don't like me. And when I hear those words come my way, I have to determine, am I going to let that take become a part of me and who I am? You see, I can't control the words from coming at me, but I can control whether I'm going to allow them to stay in my heart or not. The Bible says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. The Bible also says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man or woman thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, whatever you're allowing your thoughts to dwell on, don't be so shocked. If people are angry with you, don't be surprised when you become angry. When people are unforgiving and bitter, don't be surprised when you start feeling like you're unforgiving and there's some bitterness, because it starts to develop within you. So be very careful. Now, I might be dating myself, but back in Sunday school, they used to do this song. Do you remember the song, Be Careful Little Ears What You Hear? Remember that song? Be careful little ears what you hear? Why would they sing that? You know, to me, it was just a song, but now I get it. I understand. Be careful what you allow into your heart. Be careful what you dwell on. You cannot control the conversations, the words that come at you, but you can control whether they stay. And the last uncontrollable factor is your choices. Number five is your choices. Now, this is what I call the wild card, okay? Because you're like, I know right now you're like, hold on, I can control my choices. Yes, you can, but here's what I'm talking about. Your choice is your wild card. Everybody here has been given choices by God. Your choice will either be your greatest gift or it will be your greatest curse. Because dumb choices can turn into curses if we're not careful. I've made plenty of them in my life, and I've had to learn the hard way. But in Deuteronomy 11:26, he tells us, I am setting before you this day a blessing and a curse. He says, you got a choice. Choose wisely. And every day, you and I have a choice. it's not that we can't control it. It's just there's always going to be choices. They will always be coming at us. We can't control that and stop them. We have to learn to make wise choices. So how do we do that? These are the five I'm going to give you at the bottom of the middle of your outline. Five choices for a winning hand. Number one, I can choose to get healthier. I can choose that. Psalms 119 said, "You made me, you created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands." When I learned that God made me and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and he's gifted me, what I need more than anything is I need some sense. You know what I'm talking about? You know? I need the Holy Spirit. I need him. I need a healthier relationship. I can choose that. I know that. But knowing that and doing that are two different things, right? You know that chores need to be done in your house. The fact that you know that, does that get the garbage out of the house? No. You got to walk over, you got to grab the bag out of the can, you got to tie it up, take it outside, and drop it in the receptacle outside. You still got a part to play in this. But you can choose to be healthier. There's some things that you can control in life, such as maybe today you're going to say, I'm choosing to be a little healthier. I'm going to eat a little better. You can choose that. I'm not choosing that. Personally, I'm a foodie. I love food wherever I go, and I love to enjoy food. But if I want to choose to eat healthier, I can. I can choose to exercise regularly. That's a choice that we can make. You know, I don't do the New Year's resolution, you know. But I do every year take time to just reevaluate and say, Lord, what are some goals that you have for me? What are some things that I need to attain? And he got really practical with me. And I was like, why is he doing this? I can't remember them all. I had to write them down. But one of the things I know the Lord told me, he said, Jim, you can start exercising a little more. I was like, get thee behind me, Satan, right? That's straight from the pit of hell. But he said, no, you really could. He goes, it's not like you're really doing anything. You know what I mean? I'm not as active as I once was. He says, why don't you start walking a mile and a half a day? And I thought, every day? Yeah, every day. So I aim it every day. Do I hit it every day? No, but if I aim it every day, maybe I'll hit 4 or 5 days. That's something I can do. I can choose that. I can choose to be healthier and do some exercise. I can choose what I'm going to think about, what I'm going to focus my thoughts on. I can choose what I'm going to watch and allow to entertain my life. I can choose what I'm going to expose my life to, whether it be healthy or unhealthy. That's our choice. You and I, we get to choose that. If you want to play a winning hand, you must choose to get healthier. And then when you make those choices and you're able to control those, this will reduce the impact of the uncontrollable factors in your life. You know, even though I cannot control what God has given me, you know, he's given me my 5 cards and this is what I've got. I can't turn those in. These are my cards. Of course, I got the Joker. I can't do anything about that, but what I can do is I can get healthier in this relationship with God. Not only that, but here's number two. You can improve and deepen your relationships. You can improve and deepen your relationships. It's a choice that you can make. It's a choice that I can make. You can choose relationships that are better, or choose the relationship you have to become better, healthier. Because this card, that one there, is under your control. If you're not happy where you're at in the relationship that you are in, you can do something about that. It's in your control. It's just a lot of times people, they want to fold and they want a new hand dealt to them. See, I can develop my communication skills. I can reach out and make good connections, such as making good friends. And I can reduce the bad connections in my life. I had to do that. I remember when I came to Jesus for real, right? Meant it with all my heart. I had some friends that I thought were friends. And they will never leave me. They will never forsake me. They're always going to be there. And as soon as I told them I'm getting my heart right with God, I'm going back to church, I'm a Christian, they were gone in less than 24 hours. Gone. Now that was a lesson right there. Because I thought our relationship was one way when it was obviously another. But I also wasn't living for the Lord at that time. So I was blinded to a lot of things. having come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, having been a Christian now, I realize that I have choices I can make, and one of them is to improve and deepen relationships. That part, that's where it started with me, with my relationship with God, my relationship with my wife. I can improve on that. I can choose to improve that and to deepen that relationship. That's a card that we can play. That's something that we can do. We may think, well, if I start reaching out and connecting with people and trying to make new friends and trying to meet other people, what if they don't like me? What if they don't accept me? My encouragement, if that's you, my encouragement to you today would be, take some risks. Take some risks in life and reach out to others. Try to make friends. The very reason why you're afraid to make connections is the very reason you should go out and make friends. So how do I overcome that fear then? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. It casts out all fear. Love gets the focus. If you put that on someone else, if you focus on someone else. Love asks questions like this. I wonder if somebody can use a little encouragement today. I wonder if somebody, I'll pick on my son-in-law here. I wonder if Ben could really use a word of encouragement today. That's a really nice thought, isn't it? But if I do nothing with it, how has it benefited Ben? It hasn't. You see, you can have a nice thought, but how many of you have ever thought, men, I should probably buy my wife some flowers. That'd be a nice thing to do, wouldn't it? And it stopped right there. Because we had the thought, but then we didn't go do it, right? Having the thought's one thing. Doing something about, now the men are looking at me like, shut up about the flowers. Okay, I'll come up with another illustration, sorry. We can choose to improve and deepen those relationships, but it's going to require us to be involved and ask questions. Like I said, who could use a little encouragement today and then do something about it? I wonder if someone could receive a word of affirmation. Those are questions that love asks. Maybe you'd say, somebody needs me to listen to them today. Who would that be? You see, love is something that's in action. So perfect love casts out all fear. The antidote for fear is love. And the best place to learn how to connect to others should be and is church, because church is designed to be a laboratory for learning how to connect with others. So we've got to come to this understanding of we can improve and we can deepen those relationships. But number three, how to develop this winning hand, write down, I can choose to trust God no matter what. I can choose to trust God no matter what. Every circumstance is used for the glory of God. It's for the goodness. You can't change what happens to you, but you can change what happens through you. You can make that choice. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says, God knows us far better than we know ourselves. That's why we can be so sure that every detail of our lives and our love for God is worked into something good. So what it's basically saying is this, don't let your circumstances or what others think hold you hostage. Walk in the understanding that God has uniquely made you who you are. Walk in that. He says instead, just trust God. Trust God in all things and live your lives and your love for God so that every detail in your life will be worked into something good. But it's about trusting God. For some of us, that might be a challenge, but it's the place he's calling us to. Here's number four about developing a winning hand. Write down, I can choose what I think about. This is important. This is a big one. We brushed on it lightly, but I can choose what I think about. You may not be able to stop thoughts from coming into your head, what people are saying to you, or saying about you. However, you can stop yourself from dwelling on those negative thoughts. Remember what was said. Remember what was said to you that hurts you, let's say. Doesn't always have to be true, right, to hurt you. Somebody can falsely accuse you of something. Somebody can say you did something that you didn't do, and you know you didn't do it, but it doesn't mean it didn't hurt any less. You know what I'm talking about? See, those things can wound you, they can hurt you, and they can create an infection there. You have to choose in those moments what it is you're going to focus your thoughts on. How are you going to allow that to affect you? You can't stop sometimes people from saying something about you, but you can choose what it is you're going to dwell on, what you're going to think about. Remember, just because, true or not, when somebody says something that hurts, pain hurts, right? When you get cut, it hurts. And if you start thinking about what was said, be careful, because you could start believing it. And when you continuously think about something over and over and over again, it becomes a thought pattern. It becomes kind of a rhythm, an unhealthy rhythm. Let me give you an example. Has anyone here ever been angry? The rest of you are in denial. Anyone here that's been angry and then you were angry that you were so angry? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh man, that just burns me, and you're mad. And you're like, oh, it's just, you know, it's consuming you. And it's bugging you that it's consuming you. So much so that you're self-aware that I'm angry. I'm more angry than I should be. And now you're angry because you're so angry. But it doesn't seem to get any better. And all of a sudden, you're angry that you're still angry that you're angry. You know, it just kind of builds up on the inside. And then all of a sudden, something happens. The straw that breaks the camel's back. Somebody does something and just, it just, it's like a switch. And all of a sudden, it just comes bursting out. Boom, and you start blowing up all over everybody. And it just burst out. You see, you can choose what you think about. That's why we have to choose wisely to have the mind of Christ. Because if not, all those negative thoughts, they become a part of you. You can't, you cannot, here's what Romans says. Romans says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. By the way that you think. There's nothing like the Bible, the Word of God, to renew the way that you think. Spending time in the presence of Jesus renews your mind, renews the way that you think. And when you come to that place and you're going to play a winning hand, I can choose what we're going to think about. And then the last one, number five, is this. I can choose Jesus as my Savior. I think that goes without saying. But the reason I put it up there is because there's those days I think back and I'm extremely grateful for Jesus saving me, right? That day, for me, it was Highway 61, driving down the road, for real, got my life right with Jesus. But I'm not just talking about I can choose Jesus as my Savior like I did back in 1990, whatever. I'm talking about I can choose Jesus as my Savior each and every day, each and every decision that I make, every conundrum that I find myself in. I can choose Jesus as my Savior in that part. The greatest card of all is the King of Hearts, and that's Jesus. He will change your life. You can't change the cards maybe that have been dealt to you. You may not be able to change the things that we talked about earlier, your conception, your connections, your circumstances. You might not be able to change what other people say about you or say to you. However, if you wisely choose and cooperate with the cards that you have been dealt, and Jesus being your Lord and Savior, it'll change everything from something that seems like it's nothing to a winning hand. You know, I go back to playing cards, Uno, with my daughter. She had 35 cards, but before I knew it, she was just hitting me, and the tide turned. And all of a sudden, I had 35 cards, and she went out. Sometimes you may feel like there's all this pressure in life. I got all these decisions to make. I'm trying to balance the finances. I'm trying to keep my marriage strong. I'm trying to help my children. I'm trying to support the other people that are important in my life. But you end up feeling like you're spinning a lot of plates, and it's not long before they come crashing down. Instead, we have to come to a place where we say, Lord, what is it that you've dealt to me? What is it that you've gifted me with? What is it that I need to lean into so that I can become stronger on the inside and experience that success? Joshua, this is how I'll end it. This verse, and then I'm going to pray. Joshua 24, verse 15. This is when it says, the Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. Remember? And what was it that he replied? He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, that's not supposed to be some Hobby Lobby cliche that you put on your wall. Nothing against Hobby Lobby or wall art. But is it something that's a part of your life? As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we do have rough times, but we know that we serve a God that's bigger than the rough times we're currently experiencing. You know, we've experienced pain in our life, but we know that we serve Jesus, who's our healer. We know that we don't have a lot right now, but we do know that we serve Jesus, who's our provider. He's got our back and he's going to take care of us. You see, that's what it means to make a difference in your heart and in your life, to play that winning hand. But you and I, we have to choose it. It's up to us. It will always be up to us. As for me and my house, can you say that we will serve the Lord? I want to ask if you just close your eyes with me as we pray. And Father, I just want to invite you into this process and into this moment. And Jesus, I ask today that for those that are here, those that are watching even online, that Lord God, you would help us to not just look at the hand that we've been dealt in life and say, I wish I had another life, or I wish I had somebody else's. If I could just be like them, or if I could be like those people over there, my life would be perfect, but Lord, it's a lie. Because the enemy is always trying to distract us by what we don't have. Lord, we're asking you today to show us what we do have. Show us the giftings, the talents, the skills, the abilities. Show us the passion. Lord, stir within our heart an excitement and an understanding for how we're going to be involved in your kingdom till the time that we come to be with you. So Jesus, we ask that you would deposit that into our hearts and into our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning. We hope that you'll join us again next week, or better yet, join us in person. We are located at 816 13th Avenue North in Clinton, Iowa. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions about our church or what it means to follow Christ, check us out online at cotod.church. That's C-O-T-O-D.church. We look forward to hearing from you soon.